Glad to see everyone tonight. We have some visitors among us, and we appreciate your presence. We definitely welcome you back and any opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Beth and Aaron Trevor are visiting away tonight. That explains their absence. And one other this morning, didn't get this one out, but Stanley and Melinda Barnett have been sick, so just remember them as well. Tonight, as you can see on the board, topic tonight is why are we losing our young people? One, for the young people to consider, but also an appeal also to the parents and to all of us who are Christians, who are older Christians and have an influence over our young people. So why are we losing them? How does it happen? Does it happen just like that? All of a sudden they decide, I'm not going to be here. Is that how it works? That all of a sudden it's just, we're not going to come anymore? Or is it something more to it than that? You know, it's not uncommon for young people to lose interest in spiritual matters. It's not uncommon for young people to pull away. It's not uncommon for them to become distanced from individuals. It's not uncommon for them to start missing one service, then two, then three. And before you know it, they quit attending. It's not uncommon for a young person to date those people who are not Christians or to become engaged to someone who's not a Christian or even to marry someone who's not a Christian. It's not uncommon sometimes, as we can see and look in the news and know of families that you may know of, that sometimes young people get involved in alcohol and drugs. All these things I just said about young people can also be said about middle-aged people. Can be said about us as about older people and elderly people as well. Ultimately, what happens when people get involved in these things? We lose these individuals to the world. But tonight, let's focus mainly on our young folks and looking at, and asking that question, why are we losing them? According to the poll by the Barna Group, it says that teenagers rank as the most spiritually active demographic in America. Let me repeat that one more time. In this poll, teenagers ranked as the most spiritually active demographic in America. Now, that may or may not surprise you. But when we think about we're losing young people, that may surprise you. Teenagers are more likely than their parents to attend church, but they're less likely to pray or read their Bibles. As you can see from from one of these charts here, from this poll, there was over 1,000 teenagers who were from the ages of 13 to 17 who were polled on and asked, how do you read your Bible? But not including the times you're at church, 3% of these 1,000 students, or these 1,000 teenagers, only 3% said they read the Bible every day. 11% said they read the Bible at least four times a week. Another 11% said that they read the Bible once a week. 9% said they read it only once a month. 10% said they read it 3 or 4 times a year. 8% said they read, as you can see, that once or twice a year. And that 11%, less than once a year, less than once is zero, but 11%. And those who have never, out of those 1,000 teenagers, 37% said they had never read the Bible. 1/3 of teens said their biggest reason for attending church was so they could be there with their friends. In this particular survey, 45% said that they go to church to get a connection with the Lord. That they go there, and that's their reason, is to get a connection with God. And that was very important to them. Move on from teenagers. Those who were in their 20s. It said that some of the very things of same statistics as you see here, but some things about people who are in their college age and people who are 20 in their 20s said that many of them, they start lacking interest in church. 60% of those in their 20s said in this poll that they were involved in church as a teenager, but no longer were they. 20% of the kids maintain the same level of spiritual activity from their 20s as they did in their teenage years. Only 20%, according to this poll. the why. Maybe knowing the why can help us and help prevent losing more than what these statistics show. As parents, we know that we are to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You know, this suggests that there's more than one reason why somebody departs, why they leave. And one suggestion I want to give to you tonight is because of bad influence of friends. Bad influence of friends. Parents can do their very best job of training up a child. But you get with a group of kids. You get with a group of other teenagers, of other young adults, other middle-aged adults who are bad company. You'll see someone start to decline. That struggle that we have and the young people have of, you know, who do I hang out with? The bad company or the good company? Sometimes you think, these good company, you know, these people are, maybe they're not the most popular people in school. But you still have that choice, young people, of deciding who is your friend. Who is going to be your friend? And the Bible gives us warnings. Gives us warnings, and we look in Proverbs. Look at the wisest man as he is expounding his knowledge. And he says, my son, here in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10, starting verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners are trying to get you to do what you want, trying to get you to sin, don't do it. That's very simple advice from wise man Solomon. But how true. If they're trying to get you to do something, don't consent to it. Listen to what he said. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. He says that we find all precious substance and we shall fill our houses, he says, with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse, he says. Listen to what the wise man said. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path. Don't follow the company of those who are going to try to entice you to sin. What is he saying? He's saying, stay away. Young people, are you listening to me tonight? You stay away from individuals who are going to cause you to sin, who are going to cause you to stumble. Stay away from them. He says, for their feet runs to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird. It's, when you're following them, it's just like, here they are, they're setting up this net. And what's going to happen to a bird? It's going to get caught in that net, and that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to set your own net up, and you're going to get caught in their own web, in that own path that you're taking. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, he goes on, he says, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. He says, but the way of the wicked seduces them. You may be doing the best you can, but young people realize that there are other people, that those sinners, they're going to try to entice you. They're going to try to seduce you to do things that you should not be doing. In Proverbs 22, starting, and the wise man continues to say, he says, you make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. He says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. When you follow after someone, whether it's an angry man, whether it's someone, whatever they're doing, if you're hanging around that particular individual and they're living a sinful lifestyle, it says, be careful unless you learn his ways. What is he saying? He's saying 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. He's saying, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Even though you may be raised right, even though that you may have the right, you're having the right teachings, maybe you go to church, maybe you attend Bible class, maybe you come every time, but if you are participating outside of these walls, if you're participating with individuals who are sinners, who are living a lifestyle that is not right with God, you will learn their ways. These warnings tell us that there is power of friendship, not only good friendships, but also bad friendships. The warnings that tell us that you may or may not, young people, you may or may not know. You may or may not can see if it's a good or if it's a bad relationship or friendship. But I guarantee you, if you have people who are telling you, Something's changed about you. You have your attitude has changed. There's something that's going on with you. You can better believe it. That something, you're following a wrong group of people. Where could it lead? Where will it go? These warnings and how it happens, we said just, it's not something that happens quickly, is it? It's something that happens slowly. And you gradually drift. Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Can you slip? Can you fall? Yes, you can. Young people, yes, you can. Middle-aged people, yes, you can. Elderly people, yes, you can. It's something that starts happening slowly over time. And when you're around people, individuals who are a bad influence, it starts to show. You become desensitized, he says, here to sin. Doesn't really matter. See, in Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, the person is blessed, he's happy, if he's not in those types of things. If you're in those types of things, there's not happiness, there's not to be found. And once you get in those things, the pressures start to mount for you to do what they're doing, to follow that crowd, to be conformed to the world, not transformed, as we know in Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, what is that perfect will of God. Young people, you can but easily become like them. You can easily become like those bad influences. And we don't want that to happen to you. Why are we losing our young people? Yes, it is bad influences of their friends. But it also may be a poor example of their parents. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verses 13 through 16. Here, we know that young people, they're going to learn from us, right? We know they're going to learn from us. And as we see, and as Jesus is telling them, you are the salt of the earth, he's telling them. Sometimes the salt loses its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Henceforth, it's good for nothing. We as older people, we are the salt of the earth. We have to keep that savor. We have to keep our fire for Him. Otherwise, we're good for nothing. We're not good for an example, that's for sure. He goes on, he says, you are the light of the world. You're a city that's set on a hill. That's what each of us should be as parents to our kids. We should be that light. We should be that beacon. There's a light that they see us and they can't help but to see the light in us. They can't help but to see God and Jesus in us. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be what? Be an example of the believers. Be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Is that the kind of example that I am to my kids? Is that the kind of example that you are to your kids? See, one day they're going to become just like us. They're going to become just like their parents. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Ezekiel 16, verse 44. Even behold, every one of you that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Let's put in the fathers. As is the father, so is his son. They're going to be just like us. Actions, we can talk all day, and we can tell them all day what to do, but our actions will speak louder than our words. Do they see parents who don't go to Bible class? Do they see parents who don't come on Sunday nights? Do they see parents who don't come on Wednesday nights? Do they see parents, and who miss a lot, Now, sometimes you can't come. We understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. Some people, sometimes we miss a lot when we don't feel good. Miss a lot for work, and not work that we could miss it if we could. But we're talking about work that you just decide, okay, I'm going to go to work, and you're constantly missing services on your choice. Do they see parents who are emphasizing material over spiritual? Are they seeing parents who emphasize school? They're more important with the schoolwork than they are with the spiritual. Do they see parents who are toying with worldliness? Don't be surprised when they turn out just like you trained them. Don't be surprised, Matt Taylor, if my three turn out just like I trained them. So how should I be training them? I should not be a poor example of a parent. Why are we losing our young people? Sometimes it's because of the weak image of the church. They have a perspective. They see things. They start developing their own opinions. They start noticing things. Yesterday, Noah and Madeline and I, we went to the nursing home. And as we were coming out of the nursing home, there were three little ladies sitting right side by side. The last little lady was a lot shorter and a lot smaller than the other three. But we walk on by, we say hi. And Noah says, "Daddy, did you hear what Madeline said?" And I said, "What did she say?" He said, "That woman's too little." Well, lo and behold, I'm like, okay, well, you know, she's just a kid. She's noticing things, kind of. Well, we go to GameStop. Just kind of, we want to look around in there. Well, there's this 6'7" guy, probably 350 to 400 pounds, and he's right beside us. And here we are, we're looking at things, and Madeline's looking over at him. She's looking back at me, and she says, "Daddy, that guy's too big." I took her by the hand, and here we go. I'm ready to get out of the store. You see, from a time the children are old enough, they start paying attention to what's going on. They start paying attention to what goes on here at church. Let's just use the age 10 years old. They start forming an image of church. They start forming an image of Christianity. They start seeing you, seeing me. Think about the next 10 years. Now, I don't want to think about that because that puts my kid at 19, 20 years old. But think about that. What image is formed of the church? What image is formed of Christianity right here in these four walls? I hope they see a strong and impressive image. I hope they see one that is very powerful here at O'Neill. I hope they will see that they learn the Bible. I hope they see that they can not only learn it, but they understand the scriptures that are being taught. I hope that they see in action and others around them and you sitting in these pews. I hope they see the action in you. I hope they see individuals who are convicted, who have strength and they're strong in their faith. I hope they know that whenever there's sin and that we will not tolerate sin. That's something that we just kind of push over to the side. I hope when they see a people here who loves and respects one another. I don't want my kids to see this image. I don't want to be this image for your kids or for any other young people. I don't want them to see that I'm up here or whomever is up here preaching that it's just weak preaching. I don't want them seeing that they're up here saying, "You got to do this and this and this and this," and we're just pounding it down them and they feel like I can't do anything right. But I want them to hear truth. I don't want them to go to a Bible class where someone is unprepared for their lesson, that they have no clue what's going on. I don't want them to see I don't want them to see members at O'Neill who are hypocrites. I don't want them to see outside these walls anybody within these four walls who is using language that's not becoming of a Christian, who is acting in a way that is not becoming as a Christian. I don't want my kids to hear grumbling about other members in the church. Because when they hear grumbling about other members, they're going to think that's okay. and that image becomes weak. What kind of image would that get? Would this give? Another reason would be lack standards at home. Training young people requires high standards. High standards. Those that are based in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, do what? You obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. You obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. And fathers, what you don't want to provoke your children to wrath, but how do we bring them up? In the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's how we bring our kids up. Going back to that Proverbs 22, verse 6. If we're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of you, we're training them up in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that they might not. But more than likely, they're going to have that faith in them. If they know what they're doing is wrong, and if they live long enough, hopefully, they will come back. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, as they're talking to Israel, what they wanted them to do, it says, only take heed to yourself. Keep thy soul diligently. Take heed to who first? Take heed to yourself. Watch your soul, lest you forget the things that you've seen with your eyes. You yourself, parents, we look at ourselves first. Keep our hearts with all diligence. Don't forget the things we've seen. Don't forget the things that we've heard. Unless they shall depart from your heart all the days of your life. Don't forget those things you've learned. But in not forgetting them, you teach them. You teach them to your sons. You teach them to your sons' sons, he says. Especially the day that they stood before the Lord God in Horeb, he says, when the Lord said to me, you gather those people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life, that they will have upon the earth, that they may teach their children. We have to teach our kids. Maybe sometimes we're lax in our discipline during the younger years. Maybe sometimes we're very careless in what they watch, what they wear, what they're listening to, what movies and TV shows, that we really aren't paying too much attention to that. Maybe we're not paying attention to the websites and the internet places that they go to. As they get a little older in their teenage years, maybe we start pulling back a little bit and not really knowing who they're with, where they're going. Maybe sometimes we're lax in making sure they even are prepared for their Bible class. Little communication sometimes do we have. The rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Proverbs 29, verse 15. We can't just leave them to themselves. We've got to get active in their life. And the last thing I want to suggest tonight, little time as a family is the reason for why we lose our young people. It takes time to be an example. It takes time to teach our kids. It takes time to help them through their problems. It takes time even sometimes to understand them, to see where they're coming from. It takes time to communicate, and that's just not talking, that's also listening to them. It takes time on building a relationship. That's why Paul said, you redeem the time. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See, one day they're going to grow up. If you didn't have time for them, they're more than likely not going to have time for you. Often we're too busy to even sit down and eat together. We're often too busy to talk to each other about each other's day. Even to go somewhere as a family, or even to help a teenager. Yes, even teenagers. Help those teenagers with their problems. But that's what we have to do. Why are we losing our young people? Bad influence of their friends. Poor example of their parents. Weak image of the church. Lack standards at home. A little time as family. Kevin Rhodes wrote an article. And it's called A Lasting Legacy. And this is the last thing I have for you tonight. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, he says, Jacob called unto his sons and he said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. He says, in the words that follow, Jacob proceeds. He starts telling them about the prophecies the future has of his sons. And for the most part, he says that Jacob is telling about the character of each of his sons and what that meant for their children and for future generations. He says, although no one can now utter prophecies, he says, it would do us well to consider the impact our character will have upon those who follow. All too often, we spend our energy on our children, on how to be good children, how to do well in school, how to mind us. But we fail to teach them how to be successful adults. Our goals should extend far beyond seeing them graduate from high school or college or marrying. See, parental responsibility, he says, is not just to provide for your children for 18 years or so. He says it's to use those years in such a way as to make the rest of the children's lives so they will have a proper focus and a proper meaning. He goes on, this is one thing I wanted to bring out. It does not matter as much what people see in your children while they're at home. It's not most what they see when the children are at home. But it's while they're, it matters then, he says, when they leave home. Live your life with your moral legacy in mind. Make a Christian life, a Christian home, a Christian children, your legacy, and future generations, he says, will call you blessed. Are you blessed tonight? As we think about our young folks, do we want to lose you? No, we don't. We want everyone to be right here with us. We want everyone to live faithfully the rest of their life. But we have a duty too, as well, parents, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of you. We had several to come forward this morning. We had the waters here. It's ready for those who want to become a Christian. What will your answer be tonight as we stand and as we sing?